Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, Disciple of City is all about equipping Christians with simple tools on how to share their faith and become disciple-making disciples. And for more information about that, you can check out our website at discipleofcity.ca. There's also an email address there, information@discipleofcity.ca, where you can contact us, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this podcast. You can also check out our website, thetoddcast.ca. You can see our latest episodes are up there and some behind-the-scenes photos. Friends, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in this world, so why not fill your day with some positive things? You can download the United Hive app at the App Store. This app is being used all over the world to share testimonies of salvations, prayers, baptisms, deliverance, and all that great stuff. It's set up similar to Facebook, where you can post pictures and videos, and it's being used, as I say, all over the world, and you can start your day seeing some positive stuff happening. Download the United Hive app at the App Store today. And friends, we are on socials, Facebook and Instagram, thetoddcast_.ca. And also follow us on YouTube, subscribe, hit that notification button. We're on 18 different streaming platforms. Share it with friends. Let's get that message of Jesus out there. Now, my guest today, we're heading down to Nashville, Tennessee. My guest today is a Christian pop punk artist. She started, or at least putting out music in 2020. She has her own podcast, which I won't say the name of it because I'll spoil the guest already. She has her own podcast, though, talking about mental health. She was named the next big thing at We Love Christian Music Awards in 2021 and won Pop Album of the Year for her album, The Breakthrough. She's got over 24 singles going on right now with latest releases, Better Now and Run in 2025. And while I've exceeded the music, please welcome Grace Graber. Wow, I've only done that once before. Where I've just
applause.
I've gone past the music.
The dot ca threw me off. I was like, oh my gosh, it's not calm.
Dot
ca. Like, that's Canada, right?
We're up in the Great White North, eh?
Slay. I love that.
Grace, welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, yeah.
I probably had some more stuff to say in there. And I think I've only done that once before where I was saying so much stuff, I ran out of the intro music. But you have a podcast called the Grace Graber Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Where
yeah,
you focus yeah. on talking about mental health. So that's awesome.
Slay. Yeah, I love it.
And you're making all kinds of music. And we made a little connection there just before we jumped on about some people we know.
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started. Are we going to talk about that?
Like, not right away.
The elephant in the room is I am Hawk Nelson's little sister. They cannot get away from me anymore. They found out probably like a year and a half ago that I existed. And no. And now I'm adopted. So.
Amen. So what's great about that is, like I said, I was talking to Daniel Bureau this morning. He said to say hello. I actually asked him if he'd like to hop on with us today and be, I wanted to surprise you, but he has an appointment and is unable to pop on.
Okay. I was like, I can't, surprising me with Hawk Nelson, like that. I don't know if I can do that. Oh my gosh, I'd die. Okay, good. Okay. Whew. Okay.
So, but anyways, on to different things, Grace, we'll get to all that. But first of all, again, thank you for coming on the show. You know, we love to hear people's testimonies about how Jesus became real to them. And a portion of our guests, one third of our guests, is musical artists that we look for from all different genres of music. And I think you can tell maybe which I favor, but I love all music. Yeah. So I bring everybody on. We've had country singers, rappers and stuff like that. I don't know if you know, probably some of them from the Nashville area. Anyways.
Yeah.
I found you on Instagram, actually, and thought, oh, wow, this is really cool. This is something different, and started following you and stuff. And so we're really thankful that you said yes to come on our little show here.
Yeah. Did you find out before or after the fact that I was Hawk Nelson obsessed?
I don't know about the obsession, but I...
Some people people would call it that, you know, a career is a different, like, it's a different term for it. But
well, just legit, like following you in your social medias and looking at your stuff and hearing a bit of your story and hearing that it was their music that inspired you to do this, which is really cool. So
So good. I love it. I love when like fans of that, like their music and other bands, like I love when they make that connection, when they find me. And it's just like the coolest part, because a lot of people, not just me, were impacted by that generation of music. And so it feels really cool to have a platform where like a bunch of us are just like geeking out over that.
Right. So Grace, tell us a bit about how you grew up. Did you grow up in Nashville and Tennessee, or where did you grow up? And did you grow up in a Christian home and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, I grew up in California. Oh my gosh. Do you hear the blower by chance?
No, we do not. No, we've got some good equipment here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I grew up in California, actually. My parents are pastors at a Four Square church. They've been pastors for like 35 years now. But I grew up in Northern California, and I grew up a pastor's kid, always loved Jesus, always knew about Jesus. Yeah, and it was around like middle school when I started experiencing physical and verbal like assaults for my faith, for loving Jesus. And so I was the only like kid, like Christian in middle school in that area. And so I get picked on a lot for my faith. And so they would like follow me home, jump me. It was a really unsafe situation. Yeah. And then it got so bad that my parents took me out of that school and then put me in a different school. And essentially they heard about me on MySpace. And so it was unsafe for me to go to all schools in the area. And so I developed CPTSD at the age of 12 from like being followed home and like jumped and stuff.
That's really crazy. Like, that's really extreme that it went to the point where it was like different school, like in the whole area.
MySpace was just starting around that time. And so, or maybe it had been out for a little bit. I don't remember the year, but yeah, the girls had social media accounts and I didn't. And so they would just amp each other up overnight, and they'd get to school and they would like assault me. They would spread rumors online, and that's actually how I was exposed to topics like self-harm and eating disorders, was because I would find out I was the one spreading rumors about these kids. And that was, I didn't even know what that was, and I was such an easy target because I was kind of sheltered from the world. My parents did such a wonderful job at like not exposing me too soon, but I was an easy target for those girls.
What was your faith like? You said, you know, you grew up in it, and so but how was your faith, was your faith rattled or whatever when you started getting picked on? Like, I mean, it's one thing to read about persecution and whatnot, but when you're that age, when you're middle school, 12, I think I read that you were 12 and this was all happening, like, how did that impact your faith or sort of the reality of Jesus as a savior if you're actually living that just because you're a Christian?
I think at the age of 12, I don't even think like I had capacity to think about that. Like, thinking about at the age of 12, like, I think like I just always knew Jesus was my savior, and I always knew like he is my God, and I had never been exposed to the other side of that ever. I think it challenged it because I wondered like why that was happening to me. But to be completely frank with you, like the times that the nights that I would cry myself to sleep or like struggle with suicidal ideation, those were the nights that I would cry out to God the most. And I think like because it was ingrained in me at such an early age that you cry out to Jesus when you're feeling this way, I think I had a wonderful example of faith demonstrated to me by my parents. And I do not take that lightly or for granted at all. So to be honest, I don't know how that impacted me. All I know is one night, like when I went to go take my own life, immediately when I sat up, it was like war. I heard screaming. I heard, like, I grabbed the side of my bed and it felt like somebody was grabbing me by my ankles and pulling me off the bed.
Wow.
When I was planning on taking my own life. And it was grabbing the side of my bed, white knuckling it, going, I am not. Like, no. As soon as I did that, I screamed, Jesus, just help me. And it was these lyrics, like the song just started playing in my head and I was just weeping. And it was like all that chaos went to silence. And it was, take me under your wing tonight. Make me so perfect in your eyes. Hold on, it'll be all right. You're not alone. And once I finally believed that I was not alone in that moment, you'll be here forever, forever you'll stay. You'll promise to love me. You'll love me always. Those were the lines I sang and I fell asleep singing those lines of those songs. And that just happened. At the time, I didn't, like, I was definitely a fan of Hawk Nelson. I'd been going to Revolve Tour, which is how I was exposed to them, and all these bands. And for me, I was always the odd kid out. So, like, going to, like concerts were, like, really big for me as a teen. My dad wrote songs, like, growing up, and he's really musical. His favorite band's Disciple, you know? Like, he exposed me to music at a very young age. But I just, like, this song got stuck in my head. The next morning, I woke up, and I'm looking up the lyrics, and I see it's Take Me by Hawk Nelson. And I'm like, whoa, that was an intense experience that later I processed multiple times with different therapists. And I just started looking up these bands and I'd be like, well, yeah, they have that one song. Ooh, I love that song. Okay, let me look it in. And like, I was so isolated because around this time, my parents had taken me out of school completely and put me into homeschooling because I couldn't go anywhere. And around that time too, I also had the password to my mom's account for homeschooling. So I cheated my way through eighth grade completely. So all I was doing all day was like watching video blogs by Hawk. Now, eighth grade was literally Christian punk 101 for me. I was looking at video blogs. That's when I started loving Family Force 5. Their Really Real show was really impactful for me because it exposed me to this playfulness of like having friends. Oh, this sucks because I think about Baby Grace and it just like is so sad, but God has redeemed so much. But like I didn't have friends that I could talk to and I didn't have friends to like have these experiences with. In fact, my parents would take me to youth groups and I was always the odd one out. I was always a person that I was in the corner of the room. I was awkward. And music was like the only thing that could get me to light up. So one of the things my parents did once they realized like, oh, she's really into like Christian rock right now. Like this is making an impact. I think I told my mom when I was 16 that I like, that was what was going to happen. Like that I had suicidal, ideation. I can't remember if it was 16 or, if it was sooner than that.
I was just going to ask you if your parents were aware that it was that deep. Like, obviously they were aware of the bullying, but if they were aware that it was affecting you to that magnitude.
Well, they knew because they were taking me to specialists and there were multiple diagnoses going around. Like she's bipolar. She's maybe like manic depressive. Because I, during the day, was manifesting like crying spells and like really like I would go from on top of the world to so anxious, like, and my parents, I remember the day I was diagnosed with PTSD actually very vividly because it was the day that I finally felt like validated, because my parents took me to specialists and I remember going like, am I bipolar? Like, is there something wrong with me? And my parents took me to a child psychiatrist and her name was Dr. Heath. And she sat me down and we just sat and we talked and it was just like a one-on-one interaction. And she looked at me and then she looked at my parents and she said, No, she's not any of those. She's traumatized. She's traumatized. And I was like, what is that? She goes, darling, you have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You are so stressed out from what happened to you. And oh my gosh, the relief at such a young age. I was 13 when that happened. So it had been, either a year or 6 months. I was 13 when I was diagnosed with PTSD officially. And so when I realized, oh my gosh, this was this, I finally could put two and two together why I was having suicidal thoughts, why I like planned on attempting suicide. Like I finally put it all together. And then, and then I got like help for that. But one of the ways that now as an adult, I see one of the ways that was healing my PTSD and also like soothing me and just helping me heal was my parents just kept taking me to Christian rock concerts in Northern California. That was pretty common to have one like every couple months. And like Jordan Feliz's old band, A Current Affair, would come play all the time. And like these bands like that, like, you know, don't exist anymore. But I'd meet these bands and I'd be like, why are you loving me so well? But the people who know me want to hurt me. Like, but you're loving me. And that's when I realized like, who I want to be when I grow up is that I want to be as kind, because you don't know what someone's going through. You don't know. And these are probably small interactions that these bands at Hawk Nelson never thought anything of. They probably like, I've talked to Jason, like he's told me like, we never intended on like, you know, like saving a life like this or this ever happening. And it's true, because like, they're just doing their thing, but you don't know what people are going through. And I was just so traumatized that I didn't have an outlet. That was my outlet. And just by guys like, you know, making the most out of the moment, like it was like, oh, I want to be just like you when I grow up. I want to be like Family Force Five. I want to be like Stellar Card. I want to be like these bands that like show the love of Jesus so vividly without them even realizing.
Right.
Because it was just so ingrained in who they were. And like that helped heal my PTSD. Like I didn't really develop friends till like junior year of high school. So like most of my developmental years, like this is really embarrassing to say, but like most of my developmental years, I was talking to the posters on my wall, you know? And like it was like those bands were my friends. Like Hawk Nelson is my friend. I remember when that album came out, because that was like height moment, like oh my gosh, like they are my friend. Like those are the people that I confide in. And like while there's no like actual relationship happening there, it was therapeutic to the point that it got me through the worst times and the worst nights mentally, because I had mental disorders that I was dealing with, and it just allowed me to truly discover who God wanted to make me to be, which led me to at 16 being able to meet Hawk and like sharing my story with them, and Jason bringing me on stage for their last day with Revolve tour. And I got to sing with Hawk Nelson, and it was such a redemptive moment for me, because I told the Lord, like, that's my biggest dream. Like, if you can make that happen, you can do anything. And like literally 16 blows that dream out of the water. Like, so I was like, okay, well then what are you going to do?
So that's how old you were when you hopped on stage with mm-hmm. them, was you were 16?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you start playing music? Well, two questions. Did you mm-hmm. go to regular high school, and did you start making friends in high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it like, are you socially like, like, did you get any? Yeah, no. I went to a special high school, I specifically enrolled in a video and film high school, like part of the high school. It was public. But there was like different core groups, and I went in video and film and developed really good relationships with this group of guys. I was the only girl in this program I did with these guys, and we would do videos for the, like the county, for different businesses. And I learned video editing. That's one of the reasons why like visuals are so important to me online, is because that's literally what I like went to school for is visual. Oh boy.
I hope you like what we do with this then.
So I did have a group of guy friends. It was really hard for me to build relationships with women, with other girls, because it was just so triggering. I had like one best friend named Christy, through that entire time. And she was like my rock. Like I loved Christy. And she ended up moving to Colorado in my sophomore year. And the only friends she had from her middle school were these group of guys. So they kind of adopted me in. they were really good to me. But music, I started learning how to sing and play guitar after that experience with the song. That night I started just like learning how to play songs on my guitar, and then I would write a song, and I taught myself how to play guitar. It was like that supernatural experience where it's like it just sparked, like it lit a fire under who God was about to create me to be.
Well, and you certainly obviously have the gift of like vocals, like because you can sing, you sing well when we listen to your music. So
I learned how to sing mimicking Jason's songs. I did like literally, I know it's like, I'm like the definition of like crazy fangirl, like not definition. I shouldn't say I'm not crazy, but I'm like the definition of fangirl, like the fact, like, I don't think people realize like the fact that I'm like now, like I have a platform and like, you know, Hawk Nelson's like in my life, like these guys, like I can just like it, like it's a lot for me. Like, it's a lot for me, and it's very exciting because I like, how cool is it to see that none of that time for them was wasted, like that God is continuing to move in the band through people who loved them and through stories that they made an impact on me. There's no question about it. And they made an impact not just in my suicide story, but like in my learning how to play guitar, into learning how to sing, into learning how to develop friendships. Like for me, I was traumatized and I needed people to pull me out of that loop.
Yeah.
And that's what their music did for me. So like when I say I'm fangirl, it's more like I give them a lot of credit. I know it was mostly the Holy Spirit. I give them a lot of credit because like they saw through that time, they were a part of that time. And God used them to that. Like Jesus has always been my savior, but God really used them in my life to a point where it just brought me even closer to who Jesus's character is, the characters of like the character of God. So
well, that's really interesting to me because obviously I'm a big music fan myself.
Yeah.
And I didn't grow up Christian. I came to faith way later in life. So the music that I liked, not that the intent of these bands was for it, but it sent me down a completely different path of partying. And I was like a functional addict for like 15 years. And it's just,
oh my gosh, what a testimony.
But it's not because of, you know, in the same way that Hawk Nelson helped you, it's not like these bands, you know, it's their fault or whatever. It's just, it is what it is, right? But yeah, I can just,
part of that.
Yeah. And it was just, and I wanted to emulate them and that lifestyle and stuff. But funny story is that I come to faith and I'm living here where I'm living. And a guy that I know starts a Bible study.
Oh.
And I start doing this Bible study with these two guys who were in a band, you know, whatever. But it's Matt Page and Dave Clark.
Oh.
And so I have no idea who they are, right? And one night, Jason comes in to hang out, and I'm like, "Hey, man, what do you do?" And he's like, "Well, I'm a singer." I'm like, "Oh, what's the name of your act?" And he's like, "Hawk Nelson." And I'm like, "Never heard of it, bro."
Yeah, that's so cool.
So, but over time, it's interesting how, you know, God intertwines things, right? Because then I become actually really good friends, specifically with Dave and Matt.
Mm.
And sort of later on, met Daniel and, mm-hmm. and like I say, and they've all been on the show.
Oh,
so you can actually, if you want to hear, little plug here, but if you actually want to hear their testimonies, Jason Dunn's been on the show, Daniel Bureau's been on the show, and so has Matt Page. So
I have to go do that. I'm not I'm an adult now, so obsessively looking them up like when I was 16, but like, yeah,
that's but you know what? Much like you have a story, they have a story. They each have a unique story of how they met each other and how that band got started and stuff. And it's just really cool, right?
Well, I hope one day I get to hear it from them in person too. You know, it's like, I hope I'll have the honor, especially I would love Dan. I think out of all of them, he's the only one I really haven't like sat down and like talked and like hung out with. Like John's in my life, he lives here in Nashville, and he is just that man is so excited about what God is doing in my life. And then Jason of course is in my life too after we did that song together. I'm just blown away that out of all the things God could have put me into, he chose music. And then not only that, he chose you're going to follow in the footsteps of this band that made such a big impact in you. Oh, also, they're going to be a part of your life and cheering you on in the corner. Oh, and also, you're going to be saving more lives. Like, I just can't wrap my head around how intentionally God sees people and what they're going through. He saw me. He saw baby Grace. And he said, I'm going to use that pain, and I'm going to make something so beautiful out of it. And even then, and even through that, I'm going to make sure Grace feels so seen by me. Because it could have been any other Hawk Nelson fan. It could have been any other band. It could have been anything else. But there is just such a reason why, like, it was me, and that why it was them, and like why God is continuing to bless it. Like, I don't take it lightly at all. Like, I am stepping out and like, I am so honored. I am so honored that God chose me in this place of like, hey, we're going to go save more lives with this story. Like, I could have just done anything else. And I feel very honored that God chose me out of all the people to carry this, and to also I don't owe them anything at all. Like, I don't owe them anything, and they don't owe me anything, but it's like, it's just so cool to like be able to share what God's doing in my life, because it's a result, it's a domino effect of like them staying obedient to what God called them to do. So it's such an honor.
So Grace, let's talk about your music, like what you're doing. So this has encouraged you to do all that. So I think if I'm not wrong, 2020 was when you started releasing music.
Yeah. 2020.
Yeah. And just to talk about that, what was that first initial thing like for you?
Well, that's a lot. I went to college, met my husband, was told I'd never make it in music, was told like I should just give up, moved, did give up, got married, lived in the Pacific Northwest. And then,
I just mean like writing your music, like your first song.
Well, so this leads up to it. So essentially me and my husband moved to the Pacific Northwest, and the, Lord essentially told him, hey, you guys should live off of, okay. Let me restart that. Sorry. This is that's like a huge story, because it wasn't just like, I wrote a song and I released it. It was like, basically what happened was I moved to the Pacific Northwest. We got in a car accident. I lost my ability to play guitar.
Wow.
I was injured. I went through a really large healing process. And when we were fully healed and got a payout from the car accident, my husband said, we should go back to school, live off of this. I did. I went to beauty school. While I was in beauty school, Lord said, you're going to pursue this career. I'm going to give you this career so you can pursue music. And I was like, what on earth? I thought that was a dead dream. Graduated. The spa that I worked for put out a nationwide songwriting contest. I wrote the jingle for a spa. They sent me to Nashville. While I was in Nashville, I met a producer. And he heard my story and he said, you need to release music. Heard a song, loved it. I worked on my first project with that producer and started releasing music on my own in 2020. But it's a huge story because like God used the spa that I work for, I still work for them, to get me into music. So yeah. So I started releasing music in 2020 after working with this producer, and I just wanted to get my career started. I was like, God's making, oh my gosh. No, that is so, oh my gosh. Okay,
that's the first song.
Oh my gosh. Okay, no, I was talking about darkness and stuff, like in my head. But that was the first single I did release because I was starting to work with a producer and I wanted to show myself that I didn't need anyone in order to pursue a music career before I started. So I produced that myself. Mixed, mastered, everything.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good. It's on Spotify. It's good. You were talking about this.
Darkness. You wanna hide. Yeah. But it's really killing you inside.
So you'd rather leave. Yeah. So this is when you met this producer and helped you.
I did a demo of Darkness and I put it on SoundCloud. And when I met up with this producer, he was like, oh, do you have any music out? And I gave him a link to this demo and he said, I want to produce that song. And then he was like, do you know how marketable your Hawk Nelson story is? And I was like, not really. That's kind of like a really deep personal thing. And he was like, you should probably hop on that too. But I didn't really pursue, like I did the pop contemporary project, moved to Nashville and I would meet people and they would be like, you're a rock artist. Like, what are you talking about? These are rock songs that you're writing. And then I started sharing my story more online and I was going viral for mental health, like advocacy. And then started doing more rock-esque stuff. It's just like slowly morphed. I did a song with Jason that was kind of like my pop punk switch. What was huge for me was like God was using my biggest weakness that I never wanted the world to really find out about. Like he used that to redeem a whole lot for other people. He used that to reach a lot of people. I like the fact that I'm able to like, chit chat about Hawk Nelson, all that. That's actually like a lot of healing had to go into that. I was terrified to bring up their name for a lot of years. I was terrified to even say I was a fangirl because I wanted to be respected. I wanted to be taken seriously. And so when I finally just like was like, you know what? I'm just going to say it how it is on social media. It went viral. And so that opened the door for me in so many different ways. And I had written a song called Conversation and I showed it to a friend and they said, you need to do everything you can to get that out and do a project around that. And God was doing all this stuff on social media with mental health. I've written the song called Conversation. And so then I started pursuing a project around conversation. And that's where I really found my more alternative voice. And we did the song with Jason, which we wrote that song about my story. And then I was like, let's just like, I had a friend who knew him and he called him and was like, yo, you got to get on this song. And Jason's like, why, what is up with this girl? Like I keep getting calls about her. And they're like, something's happening, bro. Like, you need to get on this. And so he got on a song with me. And I feel like it's just so surreal to think like out of all the things that it was the things that I was the most embarrassed about that, like when I finally vocalized them and shared it with the world, God just continued to open up doors and like use it to reach other people. I thought it would be the death of me, honestly. I thought I was not going to be taken seriously, like, oh my gosh, like, but the Lord used it. And like, he's obviously using it and blessing it, because there's a lot going on right now that I couldn't imagine. Like, I couldn't imagine. It's just so perfect. God is so good.
Yeah. This is it right here.
Conversation.
I can really appreciate too what you're talking about. There's somebody too that I know who's, when I became a Christian, I didn't realize they were Christian, and their music was really, really impactful to me. And I'm trying to get them on the show, but haven't had success yet. I'm not going to say until they're on the show. I'll tell you after. But really impactful to me.
Yeah.
And same thing. I don't think they realize how the simple act of them expressing their art and of course, you know, whatever to the Lord, how it totally impacts people. Because what it did is it replaced music that was really negative and had a negative pull on my life with the same style of music, super positive, you know?
Something that's happening in my life right now is I'm going viral for doing Christian songs, but making them punk. And I'm just like so honored that the Lord, like, I'm just so honored to be just like in this place. I'm so honored that the Lord allowed me to start doing this, because I'm getting DMs and messages from parents going, our kids have never listened to pop punk because they're only listening to Forrest Frank all day. But as soon as I did a Lemonade cover of Forrest Frank, they want to hear more pop punk songs, and they're getting exposed to a genre that they love, that they didn't know they love. And so it's just incredible. Yes. Like how music is so impactful. It really speaks to the soul on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so the coolest part is to be in the place where you are creating art that is exposing people to things they can get in the world, but now they're getting life poured into them too by listening to it as well. And so that was my thing too, is when I started doing more alternative sound, people were like, why is that something you want to do? It's like, because if they can go out and listen to Olivia Rodrigo, they should be able to go out and listen to something similar in the Christian realm too. Like, they should have truth being consumed as well. That should be an option for these kids. Like,
that's awesome. That's awesome that you're doing that. In fact, you know, I found someone in New York named James Franchise who takes same thing, takes Christian music and makes it metal. And it's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
It's so cool.
Love.
Yeah.
It's because so cool. You like metal, Avi.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so cool. So good for you for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm in awe. I, like, God is so good. And I hope, like, my story, like, can be an example of what God can do for other people. Because, like, again, I was just a fan. And, like, God has opened the doors. And I've just been trying to stay as obedient as I possibly can and as vulnerable as I can. And he's continuing to open doors. And I'm gonna, okay, Lord.
Well, and it's good that you're honest with your story too, because I'm sure there's kids now that are listening to your stuff, and probably young girls, right, that are, well, you'll have a relatable story and can have an out with your music.
Like, somebody came up to me after a show the other day, and she had been in the hospital the week before for an eating disorder. And this was, like, the first time for me. Like, I had my, you know, it's happening to me, Hawk Nelson moment. Like, oh, that was me, you know? She had been in the hospital for 2 weeks with an eating disorder the week before. She came up to me and she said, I didn't know you were going to be here. And she's sobbing. I didn't know you were going to be here. I was like, yeah, like, I came last minute. Like, thanks for having me out. She goes, your song literally saved my life in the hospital last week. And I was like, and she just starts bawling. And it turned out her friend came in to visit her. And she put on just a bunch of artists she likes listening to. She just put her phone music on and it was just playing. And this girl, she goes, who's that? And she's like, oh, let me check. Oh, it's this girl named Grace Graber. And the song was called My Favorite Part. And if you go now, you'll miss my favorite part is the lyrics. And she said that in that moment, that song saved her life because she was ready to end it all after being hospitalized for an eating disorder. And she had this experience, came to an event that her father brought her to, did not know I was going to be there. Is bawling the whole show. I remember seeing her like, what is going on? Like, okay, that's cool. And then she's coming to me after just like, you literally saved my life last week. And I didn't know you're going to be here. And we FaceTimed the guy I did that song with, and we were just celebrating. And we go to take it. This is like the most surreal part of it. We go to take a picture and she looks at me and she goes, this will be the first photo I've taken since being in the hospital. And oh my gosh, like, oh my gosh, just to like, think like that, you like, that was me. And like, and the, I think the coolest part about all this, and the thing that I hope I always hold on to, is I will always know what that feeling feels like, because that was me. And it, I'm just so honored that the Lord would entrust in me experiences like that, because I understand the weight of that immensely.
Right.
And I'm going to honor that. I'm going to honor her, and I'm going to remember that forever. So that was really cool. Really cool moment.
Right.
But.
Right. That's awesome. Grace, I want to respect your time, but just before we jump off, let's have a listen to this. Just get a little bit more of your music out there.
Run! Oh, I love Run. I wrote that while on a run, by the way.
How do you write and run at the same time?
I get ideas like rapid fire. I call it my superpower. I'll sit here and go, and I'm always writing. So I had the idea of Your Name, I'm Breathing It In the same as the day I began to run to you while I was running on a treadmill starting out my music career. And actually the guy who produced it, his band, like back in the day when he was like a teenager, they would open for all these bands that would come through. So it was cool to work on this song with him, because he and I literally went to the, he remembers what I was going through back then, because he would play those shows like with his teenage band, and he was there for all of it. He was there like when like Hawk Nelson was rocking my world. So like when he saw me do a song with Jason, he was like, this is literally our childhood dream. I'm like, I know. And so it was really cool. He did Better Now and Run on the EP. And I'm just so honored that like we could create music as adults. So yeah.
Awesome. And that EP is everything you ever wanted.
Yeah, the Lord's been working my life radically this last year, and I didn't expect to do a project. I released Better Now, and I was actually at a really bad spot earlier this year, like very bad mentally. And I released Better Now. In fact, I was not better now. And essentially, I was called up by this band called Audiophile, who loved Hawk Nelson. They're a lot more shy about it, but they were obsessed too. And he calls me and he goes, I guess like he said, well, if all I can get is Hawk Nelson's little sister, I feel like I got my collab that I wanted. And so people, like bands are reaching out to me now and they're like, we can't collab with Hawk Nelson, but we want to collab with Grace, like with Hawk's little sis. Like it's happened. Like this is happening. Like, come on. This is so cool. But around that time, I was going through it and he was like, let's do this song. I want to do this Hawk Nelson song. And I was like, I don't know, man, that was not my favorite song. Like I did not like it. And he was like, it was mine though. That's the song that made the biggest impact on me. And I said, okay, you sold me, we'll do it. And when I released it, after going through like the season of life I was going through, I realized it turned quickly into a song of me essentially letting go of how hard I was trying. Like I try to be perfect, try to be honest, try to be everything. you ever wanted. I literally, when we did that song, it was kind of like an act of repentance for me, realizing like I've tried, I've done all of this in my own effort, and you know what? I'm kind of done. And all I want and all I need is the Lord. So that was like, it was like a song where I didn't expect it to happen, but then I had written a song called Pressure, and it just told the story so easily of repentance in my own life. So Everything You Ever Wanted, I packaged it up into Everything You Ever Wanted, because I realized like what I thought was a dream was not in fact everything I ever wanted. And it's cool. So I packaged the last season up. We're done with it, you know, like but actually Jason's handwriting is on the cover art and of Everything You Ever Wanted and the EP cover art. So
Jason sat right here.
Don't do that to me. Yeah, no.
Right here.
He's just like, by the way, Jason sat right here. Jason signed this. Oh yeah, here, let's pull him up. Like
I made Jason a Todd sandwich. If you come in studio, you get a Todd sandwich.
You can't play me like that, Todd. You cannot play me like that. Like, I know, I love those guys. I respect them immensely. I'm not as crazy as I come across anymore. And I'm just honored that they even reply back to me sometimes.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Grace, it was, again, I just want to respect your time. I know you got somewhere to be. So just wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. Yeah. I just had one final question for you. If you were on a plane and a young girl sat beside you and she actually didn't know who you were at all, so kind of like me with Hawk, had no idea. No one does.
So yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Sitting beside you, had no idea who you were and didn't actually say anything, but you could just, you know how sometimes you can just read body language, you could just read what's going on and you can sort of sense that she's living what you were living as a kid. She's getting bullied and you can tell like something's going on there, but she hasn't initiated conversation with her. How would you start that with a desire to want to help her? How would you start that convo and what would you say to her?
And we hadn't started a conversation yet. Like it was like, we're just sitting on a plane, right?
Yeah. Or maybe you just small talk, you know, but you just knew.
I would go, hey, how's it going? Doing good? Where are you headed? You know? And then I probably, if I felt it in my spirit, I just want you to know you are so seen. I don't know what you're going through, but there is something in me that just needs to validate the experience you are going through right now and just tell you that everything you are feeling is totally normal, that you should feel overwhelmed. You are so seen. I would say something like that. And I would go deeper if she wanted to, but I'm going to be just really honest. Like anyone in that particular, they just need to be seen and validated. They need to feel normal. They want to feel normal. And so by doing that, inviting it in, just saying you are so seen right now. I see you. How often does that happen, you know? And that's something I really try to intentionally do with fans at shows, is just see them. That's it.
That's awesome. And that is the heart of the Lord, right? That he sees us. He sees all those people.
One of my mentors was telling me right now in my life, I'm experiencing Elroy, the God who sees me. Because I keep saying like, I can't believe out of all the people, God chose me to like carry on this legacy and be known for my love of this band. Like, I can't believe it. Like he sees me. She goes, that is actually a character of God. It's Elroy, the God who sees me. So yeah.
He saw you and he saw you so much he'd use four young dudes from Peterborough, Ontario to let you know that he sees you. Hey.
And then I'm going to just keep it going. Keep it going.
Keep it going. Yeah. Bless you, Grace. Thanks again so much for your time.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Guys, you can go check out Grace's music on Spotify. It's all over the place. Apple Music, everywhere. Lots of singles out there, EPs. You can follow her along on Instagram as well, Grace Graber Music. Great, great story. I think there's a website in there, too. I forgot to ask Grace, but we will ask her and we'll put it on there, too. Special thanks to executive producer Caden Carlton and Toddcast Media Relations Sheila Juti. See you next time.